There's definitely one mahalach in the Gemara that tells us, gives legitimacy, it gives a halachic hechatimsa where we indeed follow the solar calendar, the solar year.
We have to take a look in the, in the Sefer HaChinuch.
Okay,
or maybe
the Rambam would be a great place. The Rambam, how the Rambam goes to the sugya. And the Shulchan Aruch, it's not going to be in Shulchan Aruch because it's not a Gelach Lemaisa. But in the Rambam, for sure it's there. For sure the Rambam talks about this. Tells us exactly the sugya for sure. But that's a very big chiddush because you grow up in the yeshiva world. It's like, oh, the secular year, the secular calendar. It's goyish treif. It's not true. There is a halacha where you go from September 11th to September 11th in the sugya of Batei Ori Chaima. And Batei Ori Chaima represents the principle of a walled city, a fortified city. It represents a city of strength, of koyach. And the whole tragedy of 9/11 was an attack against a city that was recognized as being, the Batei Ori Chaima of America. All right, let's learn some Nach. Pasuk Beis, Zechariah, Kotzaf Hashem, Al Avay Seichem.
The Rambam gives it a whole year. The 13th month, the Shana Seibor, is you get 13 months. He brings down every single Rishon over here. Everybody chimes in over here. He brings down the Rashba, the Tashbates, the Rambam. It's a very long thing on that word.
It's a good sugya. It's a kishmaka sugya.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Yeah.
We have to one day learn it. We have to spend some time on that sugya. Pasuk Beis, Kotzaf Hashem al Avoseichem. Kotzaf Hashem has been angered upon your forefathers with Kotzaf, with anger. Okay, Pasuk Gimel. We'll see a few sukkim together. Pasuk Gimel, V'yamarta Alehem. And you shall make the following declaration. Let me put everyone on mute. V'yamarta aleihem, and you shall say to them. Okay, you shall say to them, Koi Omar Hashem Tzivakois, Shuvu Elai Nu'um Hashem Tzivakois, return to me, V'oshuv aleichem, and I will return to you. Omar Hashem Tzivakois. There's repetition here, obviously. There's a repetition, and what's more important than the repetition is the order. The order is who goes first. And this pasuk is always cited in Chazal as being one of two psukim which contradict one another as who goes first. Here it says, you must take the first step. And we'll see in the Mefarshim soon, other Mefarshim say, no, Hashem takes the first step. But here it says clearly, so says Hashem, Shuvu Elai Nu'um Hashem Tzivakos, you take the first step. And then, V'yoshuv Aleichem Nu'um Hashem Tzivakos. Pasuk Dalet, Al Tiyu Ka'avos Eichem, do not be like your forefathers, Asher Koru Aleichem HaNevim HaRishonim Lemar, that the prophets, the early prophets spoke to them, saying, Koru Hashem Tzivakos, Shuvu No Midar Cheichem HaRoim, U Ma Aleichem HaRoim, V'loy Shamu, don't follow the pattern of your ancestors that ignored the words of the prophets. The prophets begged them to do tshuva and they ignored them. Don't be like them. But rather, I'm going to read all these psukim to Zayin Avoseichem Ayehem. Look where that got them. Where are your forefathers? V'hanevi'im halo'olam yichyu. Now, that can be interpreted two ways. Either it could be as a rhetorical question, which we have to see, we have to delve into that in a moment, or it could mean as a statement, they're still around. The halo'olam, is it not true that they live forever? Now that's not true either, because we know that no one lives forever. Let's just put that aside for a few moments. Pasuk vav ach divarai vichukai, my words, my laws, asher tzivisies avodai hanavim. Haloi hisigu avoy seichem. They hisigu is they appreciate they accept it. The word hisigu here is hard to translate. In the Mitzudas David, he explains it to mean he doesn't really say over here. Look in the Malbim. The word hisigu. How do they translate it in the Ramcholus here? How do they translate it in the Judaica?
Overtake.
Good. Very good. Haloi hisigu avoy sechem vayashuvu. It was overtaken by the words of the prophets vayashuvu vayoymru kasha zomam Hashem tzivakois lases lanu, as Hashem planned to do to us kid rochenu. Mida kineged mida. This is one of the most important principles in Yadus. Is kivadavar hazeh zodu aleichem. Yisro represented the nations of the world. Yisro observed Kriyas Yamsuf. He observed Yitzias Mitzrayim. And what was his analysis? Yisro was from you know the he was the master editor of all the newspapers. He had a column. His editorial appeared in the as a column, and it was syndicated everywhere. New York Times, Washington Post, and Michal can name me about 1,000 newspapers, all the political newspapers, all of the secular press. Yisro had a syndicated column that appeared on the front page. And his opinion, his analysis of the news was listened to. And when the headlines of the news were Yitzias Mitzrayim, the Ribbono Shel Olam, he took Klal Yisrael out of Egypt. He had performed Nisim V'Niflois, 10 Makos, culminating with Makos Bechoros, Kriyas Yamsuf, Bizas Mitzrayim. They survived in the desert for 40 years. And Yisro, he wrote a column to analyze what's this all about. And his column said, you know what I take out of this? Ki badavar asher zodu aleihem. The Ribbono Shel Olam's, his hanhaga is mida kineged mida. The way you behave is the way Hashem behaves with you. The Egyptians tried to destroy Klal Yisrael by drowning them, by drowning their children in the water. That is exactly what happened to them. Mida kineged mida. And that is a limud for an entire our life to understand. You get what you put into something. The way you conduct yourself with others is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu will behave with you. In fact, this is one of the big yisodis of the Ramban. I was actually speaking to someone about this yesterday. The Ramban, when he speaks about the advantage of living in Eretz Yisrael. We spoke about this yesterday. Many people today, they feel that it's not safe in America anymore, so they're running to Eretz Yisrael, they feel it's safer. Maybe so, maybe it's safer. Traditionally, it was not safe to go to Eretz Yisrael. It was acknowledged to be the most dangerous place in the world to live in Eretz Yisrael, a teeny little nation to be surrounded by enemies. It was considered to be extremely dangerous, and yet people had the greatest Mesiras Nefesh to live, to the chibas, the love for Eretz Yisrael, the spirituality. They would do anything. They would commit, would be considered to be suicide, to give up security, to give up parnasa and security to go live in Eretz Yisrael. Yes, for the love of the land. Today we're finding a new phenomenon. People are going to Eretz Yisrael not because they have any special love for the land. They're going to Eretz Yisrael because they have better job opportunities. It's because they feel that the IDF, their ability, their skill, and their will to protect the tzibur is greater than their host country. It's an incredible phenomenon we're living with today, that people are seeking to move to Eretz Yisrael, not because of religious reasons, but because of security, because of job opportunity. Is that really true? Is that really correct? Maybe it is. I don't know. But it's a new phenomenon. The Ramban says, you got it all wrong. You got it all wrong. The mile of Eretz Yisrael, believe it or not, is not even the way, I'm exaggerating a little bit, because I want to bring out a point. It's not even the Ruchnius. It's not even, I can go to the Kaisel HaMaravi every once a month. I can go to Kivri Avos. in the koilalim in Eretz Yisrael are far superior to the koilalim in America. It's not because of that. Forget about religious reasons. And it's not because of security. Who says there's better security in Eretz Yisrael? You know what the mile of Eretz Yisrael is, Ramban says? It's a place where Hashem conducts himself with the midah of, with the attribute of midah keneged midah in an accelerated pace. Whereas in Chutz La'aretz, everything is slow motion. In other words, in Eretz Yisrael, if a person does an Avera, Hashem punishes him midah keneged midah swiftly. Now, what does it mean swiftly? I don't know. It doesn't mean necessarily tomorrow. It doesn't necessarily mean in a week. Maybe it means in a month. Maybe it means in a year. I don't know exactly what it means swift. But but relative to Chutz La'aretz, where a person does an Avera, Hashem will eventually punish him with Midah Keneged Midah. But it may take 10 years, 20 years, generations. It's slow motion. So what's the difference? The difference is, in American Chutz La'aretz, by the time HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets around to punishing a person, Midah Keneged Midah, you forgot what you did. And you have a very difficult time connecting the dots. And you're left with a complaint. Ribbono Shel Olam, why did you do this to me? This is not fair. I can't recall I've ever done something like this to anyone else or to you, that I deserve such treatment. And a person walks away from suffering with a complaint against Hashem, unless he has enormous emunah and is able to accept. In Eretz Yisrael, there is an accelerated, a fast track in midah keneged midah. A person does a particular avera. So in a short period of time, whatever that means, that word short means, whether it means a week, a month, a year, 10 years, there's payday. And because it's accelerated, a human being has the ability, and sometimes it's just obvious, I get it. I really get it. I know why this is happening to me. It's because I did the same thing to somebody else. Or I did a particular avera, and that's right, I deserve it. The ability to acknowledge and to see the midah, to see Hashem's hanhaga of midah keneged midah, is so much easier in Eretz Yisrael because things happen there very quickly. Israelis are very aggressive, they're very quick. Notice that, Israelis are all very, don't get in their way. All the Israelis that I know, they're always 10 steps ahead of me. They're very impatient. They look at Americans like, you're just slow, you're lazy, you're slow motion. They're very swift, because that's the whole nature of Eretz Yisrael. It's Eretz Hasher, Hashem Kecha Doresh Oysa, Bereishis Hashana, Ad Achresh Shana. It's an accelerated pace. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is continuously bringing Midah Keneged Midah, and when you're living there, you have the ability, you don't even have a choice. It is sometimes so super obvious to Midah Keneged Midah. That is the advantage of living in Eretz Yisrael. Not Kedusha, not economics, not security. It's, you know who the boss is. You get it. I got it, Hashem. You're the boss. You're living in a land of Yirah Shemayim. You're living in a Mokom where there's a balabos. The Ribbono Shel Olam. Now it's up to you to decide if you want to be a Yirah Shemayim. You want to take advantage of that knowledge and develop a relationship. But it's super easy to see if you just want to look.
Is there greater awareness just by being there?
That's what the Ramban says. I'm not saying, the Ramban is saying this. And there's no question. I don't live in Eretz Yisrael. I can't tell you firsthand, but we live in the global village, and we all visit, and we all know Israelis who live amongst us, And you definitely feel in your blood that the Ramban, he knows what he's talking about. Eretz Yisrael is a land where there's an accelerated pace of meeting. You know, it's interesting, it's true. I was talking to someone, Eretz Yisrael. I was just talking to them about the generators, about, you know, the Shabbos. I have no idea what's going on now. Years ago, this was about 10 years ago, where he moved into a new development, and on Shabbos, they were using electricity still from the Israeli Electric Company, which always has been a controversial, yeah, because they operate on Shabbos. And I have no doubt in my mind, by now, it's probably a lot better than it ever was, because everything is all streamlined, everything is all done by computer. Certainly there's probably very little Chil Shabbos. I really don't know. Okay, I don't know all the details, but years ago, probably when the state was first established, there was major Chil Shabbos taking place in the electric companies. The state-owned facilities that monitored and produced electricity. And for religious Jews, on Shabbos, there was guilt, a sense of guilt. How can we sit in our home and enjoy electricity when the electricity is being monitored and being produced by Acheinu B'nei Yisrael, our own fellow Jews, who are being Mechal Shabbos, in order to bring the electricity to us on Shabbos? Now there are Heterim, Pikuach Nefesh, they're not doing it. You know, there are undoubtedly many, many Heterim why it's permitted, and indeed, probably a major chunk of the religious world were lenient. But there were communities that were machmir. And it was a very big problem to be machmir. Most of the time it meant no electricity on Shabbos. And to have a generator, extremely expensive and very noisy, very loud and noisy and very problematic. Obviously, it's been already 70 years, 72, 73 years, whatever it is, and things have changed quite a bit. So about 10 years ago, I was speaking to an ordinary guy. This guy is not like, you know, a mekubel, really, he's not worked up, and he was living in a community, and he said, you know, this thing I'm machmir on, that we have here in the community, is a generator, and when we moved in, there was no generator, and there were some people that bothered them. They wanted for Shabbos to have their own electricity. It shouldn't be a Chil Shabbos issue. So we got together and we made a collection. And you basically have to pay per month. He told me, I remember vaguely, you have to pay per month a certain amount. Every family has to pay per month whatever it is. $5, $10 a month, maybe even more. I don't know what it was. So he told me he was first reluctant to participate. But then he said, you know what? I'm going to do it. And he gave the check. And he said to me, the day after I wrote the check, I got a bonus at where I work exactly dollar to dollar for what I wrote out the check for. And then he tells me, and then it came a year later, we had another ma'aseh with this, with the Shabbos. I decided I'm going to do it. And a day later, money came in from my wife. She got this. Mama, she says, b'diyuk, exactly what I invested in Shabbos. And this is like a regular guy. This is not like, you know, a spooky guy. And like, he's basically saying to me, like, are you hearing these stories? Like, these are like stories that you're reading in Gedolim books. And he's telling it to me as a matter of fact. Like, this is what happened. Why? That is what the Ramban says. The Ramban says in Eretz Yisrael, it is midah Keneged Mida. The truth is, the same exact story happens in America. When you make an investment in Shabbos of $100, only difference is it may take 25 years for you to get back your investment. And when Hashem gives you back the money 25 years later, He doesn't give you $100. He includes inflation, and He includes all of the mathematical calculations of exactly how much 25 years ago is $100. And now, 25 years later, when you get a bonus, oh, look, I got a bonus. Where did the bonus come from? Well, you don't know that the bonus that you got net, let's say 25 years later, was $362.10. if you would speak to an economist in the Pentagon and will go through the entire mathematical formula of how much is the value of a dollar today versus 20, he'll tell you it's exactly that amount of money. But guess what? You'll never know about it. You know why? Because it happened 25 years ago. And you'll never, ever connect the dots. You'll never. But it's the same miracle. So why is it that in Eretz Yisrael it happened literally the next day, and in Chutz Li'aretz it took 25 years? And because the value of the dollar is completely has changed over 25 years, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he makes the calculations and he gives you back what you're supposed to get. Because that's the problem of living in Chutz Li'aretz. Slow motion. Slow motion. This is the Ramban. The Ramban says the Iker Maila is Kiva Dovar Yisrael. When he analyzed the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim, his conclusion is Kiva Dovar Asher Zadu Aleihem. The Ribbono Shel Olam, he operates with a principle called Mida Keneged Mida. That's my analysis, that's my conclusion, that's the summary of the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim. This is the Ribbono Shel Olam. Ramban, that's why you're going to Eretz Yisrael. Because in Eretz Yisrael, every single Tom, Dick, and Harry you'll be able to see on a daily basis, Kiva Dovar Asher Zadu Aleihem, for good and for bad. You want to live in Chutz Li'aretz? Nothing changes. Hashem is Emes. Hashem is Atzur Tamim Paolo, but it's your loss. Because you're living in a place that's slow motion. And it's much, much more difficult for you to connect the dots, to see how things happen quickly. This is the Maila of Eretz Yisrael, according to the Ramban. Very fascinating. And that's exactly what Zechariah is saying here in this pasuk. He says to them, Vayoshuvu Vayoimru, Kasher Zoman, that your ancestors, they came to this acknowledgement. They came to the acknowledgement, Kasher Zoman, Hashem, Tzivokos, Lastois, Lonu, what Hashem planned to do to us. He didn't just come up with ideas and scheme and strategize how to torture us. Kid Rochenu, Uchema Alolenu. Hashem doesn't need to go make up new inventions to torture us. He just did to us what we did to him. According to our ways and our actions, Cain also itanu. Simple as that. Okay, now let's go back and look at all of these sukkim. A lot of sukkim here together. Start with the mitzvah pasuk beis. We went over here a number of sukkim beis. They're very long sukkim. Beis gimel dalit hey vav. Mitzudois David, Pasik Beis, Kotzaf Hashem, Hashem is angry. Ritzon Eloimar, Chubin Abayi Shachayu Bimei Avoy Seichem, Loi Bimikro Hoyo Ki Im Hashem Kotzaf Aleihem. Again, this is a different Navi. Don't confuse Zechariah with Chagai. This is a new man now. You have to start fresh. We're living a new son. We forget. We're dealing with an entirely new perspective, a new analysis from a different person. And he's saying here that the Churban Beis Hamikdash was not an accident. Loi b'mikra hayaki ki im Hashem kotzaf aleihem ba'avur ha'avoyin ubo ha'gmol. Hashem was angry because of your sins, and the day of reckoning had arrived for them. V'yomarta im kol ze toimar aleihem shuvu elai. Even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished them, and the day of reckoning indeed arrived, Hashem still gave them an opportunity to do teshuva. Hashem said to them, you take the first step. The oz oshuv aleichem. Then I will return to you. Lahashroi shechinasli b'seichachem. And I will rest my shechina amongst you. Pasuk dalet ka'avoy seichem. Shohayu b'mei ha'churban. Harishonim shohayu b'meihem. Don't be like your ancestors who lived during the time of the Churban, who ignored the words of the prophets. Do not behave like them. Pasuk hey. Ayehem. Now this is a very interesting pasuk. Where are they? This is not a common tone of speech that we find by the prophets, where they say Ayehem, Ka'oimer, haloi nilku b'cherev uvira'ov uvadover. Your ancestors are dead. They did not survive the Churban. And the prophets who warned them that this would happen, v'hanevi'im haloilam yichyu ka'oimer, and if you will say, v'im toshivu loimar hanevi'im ayehem, haloi gam heimesu, im shaloi osu hora. So what will you respond? Yeah, just like our ancestors died, who did the Averos, the prophets who were tzaddikim, they also were murdered and died. So you see, it doesn't pay to be good. Doesn't pay to be a tzaddik. At the end, everyone suffers the same. If you say that to me, my response, al ze oshiv lochem, v'chi ha-neviyim yichyu ad oylam, ki ha-loi mesu b'meloi shinoi sehem. This is a very, very difficult perush, very, very deep perush, in fact, and that's why we're going to see all the commentators are going to struggle to make sense of these words. And he's responding, that's not an excuse. In a very cold, Mosoma, one second, we're here in a freezer, one second. It takes about a minute to shut off. We live in America. America, see, in America, it takes even when you turn off the air conditioner, it doesn't go off right away. It takes a minute. In Eretz Yisrael, when you turn off the air conditioner, it goes off right away. See, we live in such a complicated world today, even when you turn something off, it doesn't go off right away. It used to be in the olden days. You turn off the button, it goes off. No, not today. Even the lights in all these fancy buildings have these electronic lights. It's an electronic switch. You push the button, you don't turn off the lights. When you push the button, you send a signal to a computer in the basement somewhere that a guy on the 34th floor wants the lights in this room to go off. And the computer has to think about it for about 10 seconds. If it's really kedai to listen, okay. And then it sends the signal 10 seconds later to turn off the lights in the room. You see, we live in a slow motion world today. Back to our pasuk. So here he's saying over here, this idea is that the people complain. They say back to Zechariah. What are you telling us? You're telling us that the Nevi'im warned us this would happen. They warned us that we would be murdered, we would die if we don't behave. And that's right. Look what happened to them. They're all dead. So the people say back, and what happened to the Nevi'im? They're also dead. So what does Zechariah say back? Well, what do you expect? You expect them to live forever? No one lives forever. So what is he really saying? Well, the Mitzudas, he doesn't say it that way. I really didn't say what it said. The Mitzudas says that they died a natural death, whereas your ancestors died a torture death. But it doesn't say that in the pasuk. It's very doichik. It doesn't say that in the pasuk. All it says in the pasuk is that ayei avoy seichem. What happened to your ancestors? The Mitzudas David adds in, they were tortured to death. So the people say back, and what happened to the Nevi'im who warned us? So he says back, they died on their bed. They died, they were 120 years old. And they died a natural, pleasant death, surrounded by their great-grandchildren, and everything was wonderful and good. Really? Is that really what happened? And where did the Mitzudas get all of this into the pasuk? Look what he writes. One more time, those words. Yeah, these are very powerful words because this really doesn't say any of this in the pasuk. It doesn't say any of this. Look at the words. Pasuk hey, ayeheim ke'oimer. This means to say. The Zechariah says to Klal Yisrael, what happened to all the wicked? Where are they? Ka'oimer, haloi nilku, they were smitten. Bacherev, the sword, uvera'ov, famine, uvadever, and a plague. In other words, they were tortured to death. Next, v'hanevi'im, haloilam yichyu. What do those words mean? Mitzudais, ka'oimer. This means to say, it's not to be taken literally. The im toshivu loimar, if you will respond, hanaviim ayehem. Oh, where are they? Well, you're coming to give us Musa. What happened to our ancestors? What happened to the prophets who warned them? How did they die? Ayehem. Haloi gamhem mesu. They also died. Im shaloi osu hara, even though they were tzaddikim. So you see, it doesn't pay to be good. At the end, everyone dies. Al ze oshiv lochem. To this, Zechariah responds, no, they taka died because no one lives forever, but at least they did. They were not tortured to death. V'chi ha-nevim yichyu ad oylam, ki ha-loi mesu, they died, bimlois shinoi sehem, at the end of their years. In other words, what appears to me he's saying is at least they weren't tortured to death. Really? Does it say that in the pasuk? What has history shown us? That tzaddikim are tortured to death. Study the Holocaust. Study the Khmelnytsky massacres. Study the Crusades. Study the pogroms. Study Jewish history. There's no difference between the tzaddikim and the rishonim. Everyone,
Rabbi Ben Yeshayahu,
was murdered by his own grandson. By his own grandson. So the Mitzudos here is saying something very, very. I'm not going to argue that the Mitzudos is the Mitzudos. He's saying one thing at least he's doing is he's coming to acknowledge that we Houston, we got a problem. This pasuk here is a very difficult pasuk. There's something going on over here. Zechariah is saying to the people, look at your grandparents. They were rishoyim. First of all, that's really nasty to say that to a survivor. Everyone that he's talking to here is a survivor. They were survivors. Have rachmanis on the survivors. If you would talk like this to survivors of the Holocaust, they would kill you. He's talking to the survivors and saying, survivors, your grandparents were a bunch of rishoyim and they got what they deserved. And the people, ayehem, where are they? So the people say back, yeah, and all of the tzaddikim, what happened to them? So they died a natural, wonderful, honorable death. Really? It's not true. That's far from true. But the Mesudas is not really dealing with the question. And the question now, because we have a difficulty in the pasuk, we are really in trouble. We don't really understand what's going on in the pasuk. The Mesudas is not really filling in all of the gaps. Okay, so we have to let us leave that for a moment. We're going to come back to that. There's a lot of interesting things to come back to. Let's leave it for one moment. Let's just go further in the Mitzudos. Pasuk Vav in the Mitzudos. Ach divrei vichukai. Ach divrei choyk agzera shar tzivi si es hanevim lenabois. Haloi heima hisigu es avois seichem. Now there appears to be a repetition in Pasuk Vav. And it can very well be that we're going to see soon as the Pasuk Vav is really coming to elaborate upon this question. Because the question, the retort of Klal Yisrael is such a powerful question, it would appear that Pasuk Vav is coming to give a fuller answer to that question. You're complaining to us, behave yourself, because look what happened to your grandparents. Yeah, look what happened to the prophets. So Pasuk Vav, to a degree, is going to come to address this. But let's see how at least the Mitzudas explains it. And he says, what the prophets warned would happen indeed overtook. Hisigu. V'hisig lochem dayish es botzir. Which means, hisig there means it will reach, overtake. You'll be so busy harvesting one crop, you'll be busy with it until the beginning of the next crop, until the next. Normally, you harvest one crop, and then you go out of a vacation. There's nothing to do until the next crop comes in. No, there will be such a great abundance. You'll be so busy, your activities will extend all the way until overlap with the next season, or the next commodity that you'll bring in to your storehouse. So that's when hasag, it overtakes you, it overwhelms you. So all of the all of the all of the warnings of Churban that were mentioned to your ancestors, indeed it overtook them. It came upon them. Levad, v'loy es ha-neviim. So here the Mitzudah seems to be backtracking, is trying to say all of the curses only happened to your ancestors. It did not happen to the prophets. And again, when we're reading this in hindsight, in the 21st century, looking back at 1,950 years of Golus, and including even the horrors that happened during the time of the Bayis Sheni, 420 years, we're a little bit surprised because really, tragedy and suffering doesn't differentiate between a tzaddik and a rasha. So what is he saying over here? That what he's saying over here, is it really true that in those days it was different? That tzaddikim, the neviim, they didn't suffer? Is that really true? Because our 2,000 years of history don't seem to indicate that it's true. It says there, Levad, and he's been reading this into the pasuk. It only happened to avoseichem, your forefathers, not to the neviim. To answer your question, the loyes ha-neviim, vayashuvu, avoseichem atzmam shavu loymar be'es ha-churban, and your ancestors themselves confessed at the time of their death, hine kimoy shechoshav Hashem la'asais lanu, kifi ma'aseinu, kein osa levad itanu. They indeed came to confess this exact point. Only we are suffering, not the prophets, not the people who warned us. The Hanavim loy nilku komonu. Your own ancestors, at the time of their death, their dying words were, we are suffering because we were warned, we violated the warning, and therefore it's only upon us that these curses are coming, but not upon those who warned us. They are tzaddikim, and they are not suffering with us. That's how he's reading the Mitzudas, is saying something extremely novel in the reading of this pasuk. And let's go back and read. That concludes this section. Let's go back and read the psukim again inside according to his very novel interpretation. Pasuk Hey reads, these are the words of Zechariah. Zechariah says, he challenges the people. Avo Seichem Ayehem. Where are your grandparents? Where are they? They're dead. Not only did they die, they were tortured to death. But v'hanaviim, but it pays to be a tzaddik, because the prophets who told you not to behave this way, even though it's true they died, it's not because they died, because they did averos. The reason why they died is because hala olam yichyu, no one lives forever. But there's a very big difference. They did not die from torture. They die a natural death. And I'll prove it to you, he goes on to say. Ach, it is certain, divarai v'chukai, my words and my laws, referring to Hashem's words and Hashem's laws, asher tzivisi es avodai ha-neviim, which I commanded my prophets, my servants, the prophets, to tell you, the words of Musa, And the words of what's going to happen, which I have instructed the prophets to tell the population who are doing averos, it happened. Look, haloi hisigu. Now here's the mitzudos. It happened only to avoy seichem, but not to them. It's true that they died, because no one lives forever. But they did not die from the curses. They died naturally. And I'll prove you further. If you don't want to take my word for it, you don't want to take the word, you don't want to study history, why don't you go open up the record books and read the last dying words of your grandparents? It's on record. The last dying words are on record of what your grandparents said. Vayoshuvu vayoimru. It was your own grandparents who did teshuva at the very last moments of their life when they were being tortured to death, and they said, Kasha zomam Hashem tzivokos lasos lanu. What Hashem planned to do to us, mida k'neged mida, kidrachenu uchim ma'alolenu. What Hashem planned to do to us, to punish us, mida k'neged mida, to torture us, He did. Kain asa, and here is the key word. Kain asa itanu, only to us. Only, not to the prophets. The prophets did not suffer torture, did not suffer dever, cherev, rav. Only we suffered this punishment. Itanu. And therefore, they were matztik aleihem es hadin. This is an incredible pshat in the pasuk, and he's coming to emphasize, super emphasize the words itanu, super emphasize the words avoy sechem, and to explain in a novel way what it means v'hanivim halo'olam yichyu, to say, don't say that it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, everyone dies. There's a very big difference how you die. It makes a world of a difference. Yeah.
Isabel killed many.
I know. That's how we started with. Okay, that's what I told you. We're saying over here, Pshat the Pasuk, which sounds very, very nice. But guess what? 2,000 years of history have told us that there is absolutely no truth to these words. That these words are absolutely not true.
That's why the Abba Benel says, I'm just looking at it, he says it doesn't mean what we just said.
I know, of course.
With the Zman of the Kufa of Nevi'im will end. In other words, we're in a Nevi'im today. We don't have any more Nevi'im.
Okay, there are many Mahalchim. Right.
Not that they died. That it won't be
right.
During the Pesach, right. We're not going to have any Nevi'im anymore.
Absolutely, Abarbanel and everyone else on the page is going to strongly disagree with this novel interpretation of the pasuk. Absolutely, because right. of the right. But I want to clarify the incredible pshat of the Metsudos and to acknowledge that this interpretation for us.
Ibn Ezra also says something like that. That
Nebuchadnezzar ends. Right, okay. I know. Right,
sure,
right. We're going to come to that. Right, we're going to come to that. But before we get into the other mepharshim, I just want to acknowledge this. The Metsudos is always our first stop. Metsudos always comes to the psukim lefi pshutai, the simplest interpretation that fits into the words of the pasuk. And he's the psukim over here are obviously very difficult. Isn't that what Rashi said?
Obscure.
When Rashi, we started the sefer. Rashi says, listen. You're learning Zechariah now? I'm out for lunch. Don't come to me for interpretations because this whole Sefer is one big dream. It's a closed book. So I'm out for lunch. Don't think you're going to get a pshat from me. What do you mean? Don't think you're going to get a pshat from me in understanding anything that it says in this Sefer. Okay, so Rashi already warned us, watch out. Now we come over here to these psukim. We have a very, very obscure pasuk. The people Zechariah is mocking. It's mommy is mocking the people. What happened to your grandparents? Where are they? Where are they? They were Rishoyim. Ovdei Avodah Zarah. They were Roitzchim. They did every Aver in the book. Where are they? They're all dead. They were tortured to death. They starved to death. They were smitten with the most horrible diseases and curses. You see what happens when you do Averos, you see? So people say back to the Zechariah, Mechutzef, that's how you talk to us? And what about the Nevi'im? Where are they? Where are all the self-righteous prophets that gave us Musar? They're also dead. So Zechariah says, it's right, they're dead, because nobody lives forever. But there's a big difference as to how they die. Your grandparents were tortured to death because of their terrible sins. The Nevi'im, they died 120 years old, lying on their bed, surrounded by generations of nachas and bracha. You don't believe me? You don't believe me? Go open up the history books. You'll see that I'm right. And you know what? If you don't trust what it says in the history books, Why don't you go to the records of the Chevra Kadisha? They record the last words of the dying man. When a person is about to die, they call in the Chevra Kadisha to prepare a person for his death, and they listen to his last, they call it, ask the chaplains. The chaplains were there, B'shas Yitzias Neshama. Ask the chaplain what your grandparents said. You know what they said? They said the prophets were right. Every curse they said would come upon us came upon us and not upon them. We died with torture and they died a peaceful death. No, but that's not a good example. Because there was Yoshio. Okay, fine. Now that's a very nice pshat, right? It's a very nice pshat. But you know, when we learn Nevi'im, we're learning messages that are relevant for us. There were 1.2 million prophets. We only have on record 48. Because the 1.2 million prophets said things that are very nice and very true and very holy and very exalted, but there's no relevance for us in their words. It was for them and their time. So we have a right to assume anything that is recorded in Tanakh has direct relevance for us. 2,000 years of history have shown us beyond a shadow of a doubt that there's no difference between a tzaddik and a rasha as far as torture is concerned. When Rachmana Litzlan, there's a gzera, when there's a holocaust, it doesn't matter if you're a tzaddik or you're Rachmana Litzlan a rasha, whether you're Shoyim Shabbos or whether you're a Grois Rebbe, a tzaddik. It doesn't matter. They all died the same way. They all died. There is no difference. My great-grandfather, the Reish Rav, how was he killed? They tied him to a horse alive, and they galloped, they threw him to the ground, and they galloped in the forest for who knows how long, mutilating him and torturing him to death until he died by being dragged by a horse in the forest. They cut the rope, and they just let his body decay in the forest. It didn't even have a kavura. And what did he do wrong? What did he do wrong? He devoted his whole life to Klal Yisrael. And what happened to people who were Mechalei Shabbos? They were taken to the Auschwitz, the crematorium. It's all the same. So 2,000 years of history have shown us that this is very interesting, this pshat of the Metzudas David. But, you know, you got to stand back. You got to stand back. And especially when we're looking in Nevuah to derive something practical, something relevant, it's a very hard pill to swallow. Because Moshe Rabbeinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what's the pshat? Tzadik v'raloi? What's the pshat? What's the pshat? I know what some people will say. Some people will say, I'm almost saying this to basically reject it, because I think it's a very dangerous thing to say, but I understand it, is that let's taka say that during the time of the Churban, the Nevi'im died b'dever, b'cherev, uverav, they died the same way. They died just like the common man. The common man in the time of the Churban Beis Hamikdash died, as the Metzudas says, by sword, hunger, disease. Let's assume that the tzaddikim, the greatest tzaddikim, died the same way. But in their mind, how do they die? Forget about the physical conditions. So some will suggest, and I'm not telling you this. I personally can't really swallow this, but this is what people will tell you. And how they're going to attempt to be miyashev the words of the Metzudas David is, it's true, the people here, everyone's dying the same. But the tzaddik, but the rishoyim are acknowledging that their death is a punishment. It's not a death. Again, what I'm saying is very dangerous. You take a clip of this, I'll be finished. I'm saying this to reject it. Because I don't really believe this, but I know that this is what people will tell you. When a tzaddik dies al kiddush Hashem, it's a bonus. we find tzaddikim throughout the generations, they yearned to die al kiddush Hashem. Rabbi Akiva was being tortured to death, and the Talmidim said, Rabbi, ad kedei kach, just open up your mouth, let the fires consume you. And Rabbi Akiva says, kol yomai, my entire life, I read Kriya Shema, v'yohavto eis Hashem elokecha b'chol levavcha v'chol nafshcha v'chol miyodecha v'chol nafshcha afilu noitel es nishmoscha. And now I have an opportunity. I'm not going to savor this moment and die in al kiddush Hashem. Rabbi Akiva didn't deserve this. He didn't deserve this. But he wanted this. Okay, we can't understand this. This is something which is really way out. He yearned, he thrived on the torture, because he can use this torture as a tool to sanctify Hashem's name. A Rasha who is being tortured to death, again, I'm telling you this to reject it, don't think I'm selling you a pshat. A Rasha who is dying, is being tortured to death, can't do that. Because he has to say, I'm getting what I deserve. Tzadik hu Hashem, ki pihu marisi, as Rakalis just said. Tzadik hu Hashem, I can't take this moment of torture and glorify it as an exalted moment of Kiddush Hashem, because I have debts to pay off. I owe money, I have debts, I'm a Rasha, I'm a Choyte, I've committed terrible averos, I gotta pay off my debts. So this is just payday for me. So here, when the tzaddikim are, when everyone is dying the same torture death, the Rishonim are saying, we're not dying the same. I, the Rasha, when I die, I'm matzdik olav es hadin, it's payday. Hashem is just giving me what I deserve. I tortured people, I deserve to be tortured. But I'm jealous of the tzaddikim. I'm jealous of the Rabbi Akivas, because they're also dying just like me. But for them, it's not payday. They don't deserve it. And for them, this death of torture is, I don't know how this works, is glorious. It's a kiddush, it's a sanctification of Hashem's name. Because they don't deserve it. Taka don't deserve it. So it's a bonus for them.
Chazal say, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu may be peronning his loylon, eino matchin ben tzaddik l'rasha.
Exactly.
They also get it.
They also get it. We know they get it. Look at history. But it's not what the Mitzudas David is saying. Clearly, that's not what he's saying. So I'm just trying to be miyashev what he means to say with an idea which I don't really... I'm not on a madrega to accept this. But I understand it. I understand this idea. Is that what the Mitzudas David really means to say is everyone died at that time. They were tortured to death. And what it says here is that halo'olam yichye by the Nevi'im and your ancestors will also acknowledge that it's all not the same. It doesn't mean what happened to them physically. It means mentally how they were able to view it, interpret, and accept what was happening to them. The wicked were tzaddikim at the end because they were matzdik aleihem es hadin. And they said, we did terrible things in our lives and we deserve what we're getting. And at the same breath, they said, but you know, the tzaddikim, they don't deserve this because they didn't do these averos. And when we see our own eyes that tzaddikim are suffering and they're dying with the same misery, for them, it's different. It's not payday. For them, it's an opportunity of, like Rabbi Akiva said, kol yomai, my entire life, I was waiting for this moment of glory to sanctify my name to Hashem. The tzaddikim, they can use this moment for that opportunity. But we can't, because we really deserve what we're getting. So although they all died The people, that was in essence what his response, what Zechariah's response is to the people. Zechariah is giving them Musar. It doesn't pay to be a Rasha. You're going to suffer. Look at your grandparents. They were a Shoyim and they suffered. And then they say back, and the Tzaddikim didn't suffer. The Tzaddikim suffered just the same as our grandparents. It doesn't pay to be a Tzaddik. Zechariah says back, there's a very big difference. When your grandparents, when they died, you know what they said? They said, we're all suffering the same, but it's not the same. Our suffering is because we deserve it. But the tzaddikim, when they suffer, they don't deserve it. And because they don't deserve it and it's happening to them, for them it's a bonus that's beyond comprehension of to use it to as a way of sanctifying Hashem's name. And in the next world, you can't even imagine what they're going to get. For us, it's just payday. That's the difference. That was his response. That's the deeper meaning of what the Mitzudas David is trying to say, at least in a way that we can relate to. Now, do you like that answer? I have a hard time with that. With that, I think that I just told you. It's a very lofty, exalted interpretation, which to me, in my lowliness, can't really scratch the surface. But it's an idea. It's an idea which is a hechra, a higher idea to give an explanation. Here's a question.
There is a pasuk in the Torah. There is a pasuk in the Torah. Vasitem lo kasher zamam laasot leachir. Kasher zamam. Here are the same words here. And that's number one. Number two says kasher zamam Hashem Elokeinu laasot lanu ken asa itanu. What's the change? What's happening here? Hashem actually is like Edim Zomamim. He comes in with force and he wants to punish. However, when he does it, he doesn't say lanu. He says itanu. Imo anochi betzara. Kilo HaKadosh Baruch Hu suffers himself from the fact that he had to punish the tzaddikim.
Okay, that's all different. You're putting the word itanu with Hashem.
Hashem is with us, no matter what.
Imo yenoichi b'tzara.
Itanu. Ken asa itanu. Itanu.
Okay, you're saying a whole different shot. Hold it up. Okay, Michal wants, Michal is here.
I'm wondering,
Michal is speaking,
Don't Chazal say that the death of a tzaddik is a kapara for his generation? I know the first time I learned that it's our concept that a tzaddik dies for our sins was one of our concepts, not theirs. Isn't there something to that?
Yes, but how does it apply over here?
That's why the Abarbanel says in this week's parsha, "V'yomar adoro acharon b'neichem asher yokumu me'achreichem." What is that talking about? At the end of the last generation who are doing tshuva, that's why they're there. They'll be able to say, "Al asher rosvu as bris Hashem lokei avon sechem." Our forefathers, they were sent. In other words, they will realize and don't make too many cheshbonos because on this taros, you know, Al Hashem Elokeinu. And it goes, okay, you know, you can make Hezbollah up to a certain point. But the Omar, he goes into a whole thing here that the Dora Akron, they will come to realize that, listen, because he said so many times, you have to understand, everybody says their father was a tzaddik. It's not so. you know, that's it. You can't do tshuva until you realize that he wasn't, you know, things like that happen.
Okay, we have to stop here. It's very late. Let's stop here. Let's take a very, very short break. We're going to take a short break. We're going to stop here. We'll learn the Chumash in a few moments.
Rabbi Nayevsky, I see you like the Northern Lights.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen them? Have you ever been to the Northern Lights?
Alaska.
Yes.
Really? Where? What you
go in Alaska? Alaska.
Alaska. Oh. So what? How does it work out in terms of like davening when during the Northern Lights season?
You make a time really because. According to some, I mean, I have a book that says it. So let's say if you take off the last place you were, whereas in Seattle, you keep Seattle time, because in the wintertime, obviously, there's no daylight. And in the summertime, there's no sun, there's no no darkness.
Somebody going to Alaska?
So what do you do? So they try to do like ski. At one point, it was only 2 hours or 1 to 2 hours of night. Even the night wasn't night, but in the winter there is no light. So you make a zman. You have to. There's Chabad out there, and they're very machmir as many things as they can. But nevertheless, like one Shabbos was out 2:30 in the morning, according to them. But wow. We were told like by 12:30 was like shkia. We could make Havdalah Matzah Shabbos shkia. But that Shabbos in Fairbanks, they did. Well, Alaska is so long that there's a big time difference between southern Alaska and northern Alaska. There's a big difference. So between Anchorage and Fairbanks, there's a big difference in Sman. You know, because Shabbos moves very fast. You know, and from week to week, it's wild. Don't forget it. At the pole. Shabbos changes a half hour every Shabbos. Every Shabbos, wow. The clock moves a half hour from week to week. So it's moving minutes a day, every single day, you know, depending on the season. But it's incredible. You can see it fast. You don't see dogs at 12 o'clock at night. You're walking in the street. It's like not daylight, but it's pretty light outside. You don't need street lamps at night.
Wow.
It's like dust.
Rabbi Shmuel, in 1976, I was in Iceland.
Yeah.
He relied on a rabbi from Norwegian, in Norway.
Right.
So, like, nightfall was like, Shabbos ended like 2 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
And Shabbos, it was crazy. Shabbos started like 12, I got it right.
Unbelievable. You never even imagined, right?
From that.
Isn't that funny? Okay, Rabbi, so let's begin.
There was no Jews in Norway.